This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 22nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, our election series continues. We'll look at the upcoming referendum for a sales tax increase in Champaign County to pay for new schools. We'll also get a forecast from AM 580's meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, today's news. A growing number of Illinois schools are finding it more difficult to meet federal guidelines for academic success. Sean Crawford explains.
The No Child Left Behind law measures school performance primarily through state testing. The eventual goal is to get all students meeting standards, but that could prove to be a tall order. One-third of state schools failed to make much lower benchmarks last year, according to Matt Vanover with the Illinois State Board of Education.
Last year, the mark to make adequate yearly progress on the state testing was 55%. This year, it's 62.5% of students have to meet or exceed state standards for any given school to make adequate yearly progress.
The goals are more aggressive each year. Vanover says schools that repeatedly fail to make progress are put on a watch list. Eventually, they can face penalties, such as a loss of funding. About 50 districts and individual schools improved enough last year to be taken off the watch list. I'm Sean Crawford.
The Pontiac and Gibson City Melvin Sibley School Districts are among those that left the watch list this year. So did Mary Miller Junior High School in the Georgetown Ridge Farm District. Teachers at Rantoul Township High School are now working under a new contract. School board members unanimously ratified the three-year contract Monday, a week after teachers did the same. Superintendent David Recor says it calls for an average pay increase of 4.5% each year for teachers and contains no significant changes in other benefits. Champaign County will go back to having a single administrator on December 1st of 2009. Last night, the county board voted 21-1 to end its unusual dual administrator system. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Deb Busey and Denny Inman have managed Champaign County government as dual administrators for the last 10 years. Policy Committee Chairman Tom Betts says the system has served the county well, but that it's time for a change.
People want to return to a traditional single administrator system, which is what most governmental bodies have, most corporations have, most businesses have, most entities don't have a duality of control.
But Republican County Board Member Stan James says he thinks Champaign County should stick to its dual administrators. He cast the lone vote against the single administrator system last night. And he says some county board members voted yes not because they dislike the dual administrator system, but because they want to get rid of one of the administrators, Denny Inman.
I'm going to have to say yes to that. I think that is a way that if they're unhappy with something, you know, we all tend to want to blame someone else instead of taking some of the blame ourselves.
Policy Committee Chairman Betts says the search for one and only one new county administrator should begin next spring. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Democrat Linda Abernathy says she's not seeking a second term after a stormy 4 years as City of Champaign Township Supervisor. Abernathy was elected to the post, pledging to increase the number of people in the township's general assistance program. She says her predecessor had turned away qualified clients, but the increased level of service drained Abernathy's budget, and she was forced to cut back on the number of clients and the level of payments. Champaign voters rejected a 2006 township tax hike referendum, though a smaller tax increase is on the ballot next month. Abernathy says she's proud of the work she's been able to do despite the setbacks.
We've been able to accomplish a lot, and one could only guess what that could have looked like had I had a town board that was really working hard with me to accomplish these goals.
The town board in this case is the Champaign City Council. Abernathy says most council members have been cold to her request for city funds to help fund township general assistance. Besides frustration in office, Abernathy also cites health problems. She was treated for breast cancer in 2006 and is undergoing tests to see if the cancer is spread. Abernathy is endorsing Deanne Winston for the Democratic nomination for township supervisor next year. Winston is an assistant in the office. The State Board of Elections has turned down a representative candidate's complaint against the man who tried to get him off the ballot. Last month, Republican Frank Calabrese filed a complaint against Pat Devaney, who had challenged Calabrese's slating against 103rd District State Representative Naomi Jacobson. Calabrese had claimed that Devaney spent enough money to be required to register as a political action committee. But yesterday, the State Board of Elections sided with its hearing officer, who decided that there was no justifiable ground to support Calabrese's complaint. A former Chicago police commander has been arrested because of his role in the torture of African-American suspects in police custody. Robert Wildebor has more.
The torture took place on Chicago's South Side during the 1970s and 80s. It's been well documented, but in announcing the charges today, U.S. Attorney Patrick Fitzgerald said the statute of limitations prevents authorities from actually prosecuting those crimes.
There's no one in the world who could bring a charge for that torture and abuse. So that's over. Turn that page.
Instead, prosecutors are charging Burge with obstruction of justice and perjury for lying in court documents in 2003.
If people commit multiple crimes and you can't prosecute them for one, there's nothing wrong with prosecuting them for another. If Al Capone went down for taxes, that was better than him going down for nothing.
If convicted, Burge could face up to 45 years in prison. I'm Robert Wildebor.
Ameren customers will pay less for heating next month thanks to a dip in natural gas prices. Weakening demand for energy has led to the drop in market prices for both crude oil and natural gas. An Ameren spokesman says they're fairly confident bills during the heating season will remain a bit lower than originally forecast. But Lee Morris says there could be unforeseen circumstances.
Back in 2005, we saw natural gas prices spike when Hurricanes Katrina and Rita knocked out gas production in the Gulf. Extreme, lengthy cold weather in the northern United States could have similar impacts. So cautiously optimistic, but no reason to let up on good conservation practices.
Ameren IP customers will see the biggest decrease in their bills at 35% next month. Ameren Silco bills will go down 27%, CIPS customers 22% less. Morris suggests annual furnace inspections and less hot water usage to keep bills lower, but he cautions the rates will still be about 20% higher than last November, keeping pace with other market forces. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Frustration with state government over education funding reform has led to the call for a higher sales tax in Champaign County. The county's 14 school boards promised local property tax relief if voters approve a 1% hike in the county's sales tax. It's generated some uneasiness, even among some people who say the schools do need more money. The back of Rantoul Township High School doesn't look too much different than it did when it was built in the early 50s. That's the problem facing Superintendent David Requa. Not as much the looks as the 50-year-old windows.
It's just the aluminum frame and one piece of glass. And in the wintertime, that's pretty chilly. It doesn't stop a whole lot of cold. So.
Add to that an original equipment boiler, inefficient and wrapped in asbestos insulation. It's a big contrast to the front of RTHS, a wing that was built 5 years ago. It welcomes visitors with an original school facade right inside the front door. Rico wants to help pay off the bonds for that wing and much-needed modernizations elsewhere. The trouble is, state funding has been iffy, and property taxpayers already approved a tax hike a few years ago to get the addition built.
There are capital projects that the state promised money for as far back as 2004 that still aren't funded. So we need something reliable to be able to take care of the buildings, make them safe, and make them healthy places for kids to learn.
Requa and other superintendents in Champaign County have laid out their plans if voters approve the 1 cent sales tax hike. And they all promise, in varying amounts, to hold back or even scale back property tax levies. Parkland College trustee and farmer Lynn Werfel heads a community group campaigning for the sales tax hike. He says by law, the $17 million raised each year would go to construction projects only or to pay off debt on those projects. And he hoisted a brick at a recent press conference to illustrate his point.
This will, for the first time, infuse a stable flow of money, capital dollars, specifically for capital needs. Really, it's the bricks and mortars things, you know. And bricks and mortars are paid for by property taxes. This will use sales taxes instead of property taxes for those kinds of expenses.
Meanwhile, Unit 7 contains students all over southern Champaign County. It's somewhat more affluent than Rantoul, and its grade and middle school buildings are all new. Like Rantoul, Unit 7 Superintendent Michael Shonk says taxpayers have been generous in the past, and they'd appreciate a property tax break if they knew that sales tax money was paying off the debt faster.
And with approximately 35,000 kids up there at the U of I, you know, they can help out a little bit.
Supporters like the idea of spreading the responsibility to people who don't directly pay now, whether it's students buying things for their apartments or out-of-town shoppers driving into Champaign County. Groceries, prescriptions, licensed vehicles, and farm equipment would be exempt from the tax. But for County Board Member Tom Betts, putting the burden on people who don't have much of a stake in local education doesn't seem fair.
These are the local public schools that we as property tax payers and longtime residents, it is primarily our obligation to support our own schools. This idea that we should shift it to, quote, outsiders is, to me, it's very insulting. It's insulting to my constituents who are a majority of my students.
Betts and the rest of the county board have to vote to put the sales tax in place if the referendum passes. They could also choose to enact a lower sales tax than 1%. And even though Betts says he may very well vote in favor of the sales tax, he says after all, public education does need the money, the promise of lower property taxes is not set in stone. Another skeptic, Diana Visick, who's involved with the local Libertarian Party, says once the tax hike is in place, it'll probably be here to stay.
And in order to repeal this tax, it would mean that all 14 school districts would not be able to have any bonds outstanding supported by this. Because bonds last for years and years, the chances of repealing this are essentially zero.
But for those who say reducing property taxes is a matter of fairness, the sales tax is a worthy cause. Claire Falke is with the group A Plus Illinois, which lobbies to change the entire state's balance of education funding. She's confident that Champaign and other counties considering a higher sales tax in exchange for property tax abatements won't cut into her group's argument that the whole system needs an overhaul.
Most local property taxpayers have seen their tax bills go up and up and up in recent years with seen the kinds of academic programs at their local schools be cut. You know, the problem is still there. This is a temporary solution.
But nothing changes in Champaign County if voters decide to keep their wallets closed and reject the 1% sales tax. School superintendents say their repayment plans on bonds will go on, and if they have to build or renovate schools, they'll have to do it the old-fashioned way and go back to property taxpayers. We've got autumn weather for the next few days, and that includes the chance of rain over parts of the area throughout the next forecast period. Our meteorologist, Ed Kieser, says it'll be cloudy in northwest and west central Illinois with a few scattered showers primarily this morning. Elsewhere in Illinois and far west Indiana, partly sunny. Elsewhere in Indiana, mostly sunny. Highs from only 52 in northwest Illinois to 66 in the far south. A mix of clouds and sun and breezy in Champaign-Urbana today with a high of 58. For tonight, it'll be cloudy in western Illinois. In eastern Illinois and western Indiana, partly cloudy, mostly clear in eastern Indiana. Lows from 32 in northeast Indiana to 46 in southwestern Illinois. For Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy and windy, the low 39. For tomorrow, look for clouds and showers and thunderstorms in western Illinois. In eastern Illinois, increasing clouds with a chance of a few showers late in the day. Still sunny in Indiana. Highs from 54 in northwest Illinois to 68 in far southern Indiana. Tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana, mostly sunny early, then cloudy and windy again, the high of around 60. Rain moves in for tomorrow night and into Friday, with tomorrow night's low 45 in Champaign-Urbana, only 53 on Friday. Saturday, cloudy and occasional showers, the high again 53. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, October 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.